Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, a place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, October 24th, 2022, and we're going to have a couple of guests on tonight. We're going to have Thomas Pastore and also candidate Mercedes Fonseca, if I say it correctly. Hopefully I don't totally destroy her name. She's going to be on. She's running for Orange County Commission District 4, and she is opposes the transportation surtax, as does Thomas Pastore. So we're going to get into that tonight, but first we're going to go ahead and do like we always do. We're going to start with a pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that's what it's about, people. We've got to remember that, and we should say it every day. We should definitely live it and believe it. So when I'm saying it, I hope some of you are joining me from wherever you're located and saying it with me. But anyway, before we take a deep dive into transportation, if anybody watched the Trump rally yesterday, or excuse me, Saturday, yeah, I think it was Saturday, lost track of time here, he actually did stress, finally, we're getting people to say what we've been saying for a long time, we are past the socialism. Socialism is a pretty word for communism. So whenever you hear people talk socialism, just replace the word with communism. And Trump was emphasizing that on Saturday out of Texas, which is the truth. And that's we ought to just be honest about it. There's been a variety of things going on this week, but I'm not going to get into too much of that because I know I need more than 2 hours to talk about transportation, but we're going to start there. Now, as many of you know, I was born and raised in Orange County, Florida. It's just a year ago that I left the area. Excuse me, and I'm up in the panhandle now. But Orange County, just so you know, Orange County is a total disaster on growth management and transportation. The toll taxes, what they do there, it's ridiculous. It's just disgusting. And I fought it many times. We fought getting the tolls on I-4. Then they still went through and they went around the people. The people said no, and they said, well, we're going to do something else, and then they put Lexus lanes down the middle of I-4 and stuff like that. And, I mean, they're trying to put tolls on State Road 50 on the east side of it, and, of course, they'll try to do it the whole way. They're never happy. They will never have enough money. It's just disgusting. And, you know, here they're coming up with this transportation surtax, transportation system surtax, and I'm going to read the language that's on the ballot, and then we're going to get the candidate for Orange County District 4, and then Thomas Pastore. We'll get them in here. We're going to talk about what it really is. But those of you who know me know I have been fighting toll abuse for years. It's just a cash cow. It's a slush fund. And, you know, and to think, while we're talking about this, talk about all the money, what that crazy transportation infrastructure thing that they just did in D.C., which, you know, some of that money's coming to Florida. And I don't know how much, but some of it's going to be there. And it's going to be for stupid things like electric buses. I mean, we have a vice president who's all excited about electric buses. I mean, there's something sick about this. The electric buses, the electric vehicles compared to the combustion engine for the environment is worse. And then we have SunRail, also known as ScamRail in Orange County. There's never the ridership to it. It's been a boondoggle. Many of us fought that from day one because of the way the train would run, the route it would be, and also the way people are so spread out in Orange County. It doesn't make sense. The average person is not going to take that train. Very few people do, and it's wasteful, just a waste of money. But they want to have mass transit. So this is what they call mass transit, even though it's some call it a ghost bus. I think that's what Thomas Pastore called it, a ghost bus or ghost train. And it's just they want to spend more money on it. It's just disgusting. It's disgusting. So I'm here telling people, well, I don't live in Orange County, Florida anymore. That's been a year. That stuff hasn't changed. You cannot give them more money just to waste. They, if they would do what they need to do, control the growth, manage the growth the way they should be doing it, you wouldn't need this. Not to, on top of all the toll taxes, on top of the property taxes, on top of the sales taxes. And by the way, remember with inflation, while the cost of goods goes up, so does the sales tax. So they're getting more taxes there too. No, nobody says that out loud, do they? Nobody says that out loud. But, you know, it's just ridiculous. Transportation is so critical to our economy and our quality of life, the freedom that we want to come and go and do things. And anything they do to play these kind of crazy games is just outrageous. So with that being said, I'm going to start with candidate Mercedes Fonseca, and hopefully I didn't mess up your last name, who is running for Orange County District 4. Of county commissioner, and my understanding is you oppose this crazy surtax, and so go ahead and Mercedes, hopefully you can hear me, and we'll test that in just a second. Introduce yourself, let us know what you're, why you're running, and of course what you think about this crazy transportation surtax.
Sure. Hi, Sally. It's great to be speaking to you again. Like you said, and you did not mess up my name, Mercedes Fonseca, and I'm a candidate for Orange County Commissioner in District 4. There was recently an article in the Orlando Sentinel. They had asked me some questions about some votes and how I would have cast a vote. And so it so happens that the transportation tax was one of those questions. And no, I would not have voted to put that on the ballot. There are several reasons why, you know, right now they're saying, and again, this is based on my understanding. I've not seen any language to show exactly how that money is going to be used. Okay. I know that there is projections of X amount of percentages being used, in different places. However, I've not really seen a breakdown, to tell me where that money would be going. Now, that said, we're in an inflationary environment. That sales tax, I know that they are saying that 51% would be paid by tourists, but that leaves the remaining 49% to be paid by locals. And so aside from that, there's also articles out there that have projected that it's an additional $391 out of pocket. Now, for some, and let's just say $400 to make it a round number, for some, $40 give or take a month is impactful. You know, the sales tax increase of 1% is, you know, you again, $400 a year, $40 a month, give or take, you know, it's pretty impactful for some. It may be negligible for others. So those are my concerns. I don't know what other options have been explored. To my understanding, toll money is something that could be used. So, you know, prior to taxing the people, what other options have been explored, and I don't know the answer to that. So that's, you know, that's what I would like to know. And so I don't dispute, and I've not ever disputed the fact that we need a more robust transportation system here. I think that, you know, can bring many positive things. However, I don't know that this method is the most appropriate method at this time.
Well, I can tell you because I myself have been fighting. Transportation is critical. It's critical to this whole country. You know, it's such a lifeline to our economy. But it's very critical to Florida with all the tourists, you know. And the thing is, there's other things that would be more feasible and would provide a better service. But time and time again, when you investigate what these people are doing in public office, it's not about doing what's best for the community and to improve transportation and whatever else, and growth. They they go out there. How can we get the money? Wait a minute. We're going to get this much money from the federal government, but it has to be spent on Sunrail, which, of course, is what happened with Sunrail to begin with, a combination of state and federal, mostly federal dollars. And then after a certain period of time, that goes away. You haven't made the money. It's extremely costly to operate Sunrail. So then, well, we can't stop it now. Otherwise, we have to pay the money back to the Fed. And it's so disgusting and outrageous. And I can't stress enough on this. And when you go to the root cause, when you look at what's causing the problem to begin with, total mismanagement of growth in Central Florida, Orange County, and then, of course, that leads to the mismanagement of transportation. Now, I got a question for you. Well, first off, how long have you lived in Orange County?
I am born and raised
here. Okay. Okay, you know it. And the others, they're calling this a regional transportation surtax. Now, I thought I heard something that Osceola County had backed out. They're not going to do it. What is this regional piece of this? So Seminole County, are they doing what is the deal with the regional, or are you familiar with it?
I am not familiar with it. I know that Seminole County had passed a surtax at one point. Osceola, I don't think it passed in Osceola. So, I know Orange County is now trying to pass that measure. I have to say, I'm really concerned with the different measures that they're trying to pass. You know, on one hand, they're wanting to pass this 1% sales tax increase. On the other, they're seeking rent control. And, the very people that, you're saying you're trying to help are also the very people that are being taxed as well. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that there's just better ways to go about it. Here recently there was something that I had seen, I think it was from Channel 13, if I'm not mistaken, with the whole ERA funding. So they had $32 million, $23 million of it was lost because they couldn't meet a spending deadline. And, it's very questionable to me, because if you lose $23 million in spending and yet you're saying that you want $600 million in addition to, I don't know. It causes me to question quite a bit.
Exactly. I want to get Tom Pastore on here, because I know you and him were communicating as well on this subject. And I know that Tom and I have been fighting some of the toll abuse and stuff like that for a few years. So we're going to get him on here in just a second. But before I do that, I'm going to read, just so others that are listening. Now, I have it on the show page, so you can read the actual chart or what the referendum is. But it's not very long. I'm going to go ahead and read it just so people know what we're talking about. Excuse me, it's called Charter County and Regional Transportation System Surtax. That by itself is enough to make you ask a lot of questions when they say how they're going to split all this stuff up. But okay, shall a Charter County and Regional Transportation System Surtax at the rate of 1% be levied in Orange County, Florida for a period of 20 years with revenue deposited into a trust fund dedicated to exclusively to transportation and transit improvement uses authorized by law, with oversight and accountability for the revenue provided by a Citizens Oversight Board and the elected comptroller, as approved by the Board of County Commissioners. Should that be the case? Right now, we're encouraging everybody to vote no on this show, because I've been there too long. I know Orange County and transportation. But I do like the fact that they put in here, and I'm going to, let's see what Tom says on this one, provided where it says accountability for revenue provided by a Citizens Oversight Board. That is very critical, so I'll get your take on that one first, Mercedes, and we'll get Tom in here. What do you think they're going to do for a Citizens Oversight Board? How do you think they're going to select it? I mean, it sounds really good. And, of course, I'm not there now, but I guarantee you, I can say 99.999% say if I still lived in Orange County, and as much as a citizen activist I've been about transportation, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't let me on that board. So, anyway, what do you think on that? And then we will get Tom in here.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, you would hope that, you know, people would be able to, if they set some criteria, you know, and what is that, why, and let there be, you know, a fair process. But if it's going to be, you know, well, this particular individual is going to reach out to someone specifically, everybody is going to pull for their area, and rightfully so. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, I've not seen a priority list. I've not seen, you know, I've not seen where this money is going and how it's going to be distributed against, you know, the county needs and what they're saying the needs are. So, you know, if it does pass, because at this point it is up to the voter whether or not to vote it up or vote it down, I certainly, if elected, want to be there to ensure that what they are telling people it's the money's going to be used for is just that that's what it's going to be used for.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to be the first to say that there's definitely problems in transportation. And personally, to me, if they were going to do this, and, of course, they're saying 20 years and we know how that kind of stuff goes, the only way I would support it is if they're going to use it to pay off the bonds and get rid of the tolls off of the 408 and some of the other toll roads, then they would have people would have access to the best expressway system. As you were talking about the people, the toll taxes are very regressive, and people of lower income, especially with all this inflation and everything else going on, they cannot afford several hundred bucks a month to drive on toll roads to get to and from work. So if they were going to actually use the money to pay off the tolls, they were to remove the toll booths and stuff, I would say that would be it, but it would have to be, again, citizen oversight and the 20-year limit, which I think 20 might be too long. That would be the only way I would even consider it. But, of course, that's not what they're going to do. They're going to keep gouging people, the cash cow of the toll roads and all this other stuff. And I mean, that's based on having lived in Orange County, Florida, all of my life, and seeing how they are so reckless with the people's money, growth, and transportation together. Now, with that being said, I'm going to get Mr. Thomas Pastore in here. Hey, Tom, and then we can go over. He gave me the list and gave me some information on what they were supposed to, the breakdown, what they're going to use the money for. So, Tom, go ahead and please introduce yourself if you like. Of course, I told him you and I are fellow activists fighting toll abuse and transportation mess in Orange County for years. But go ahead and tell us what you found out about this and also why it's the wrong thing. And if you have any questions for Mercedes, too. Mercedes, I know you're obviously campaigning. Please stay as long as you can and help out with the questions and stuff. But I understand if you have to drop, just kind of let me know.
Okay, I sure will. I have about another 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, Tom, do you have any specific questions? You want to go over some of the stuff with Mercedes? Because I know you've been doing a lot of studying. I can read off the list of the things, but it's I know you've got a lot of info on it, too.
Well, hello, Sally and Ms. Fonseca. Can you both hear me?
Yep,
yes, I can hear you, Tom.
Okay, very good. A couple things, since we're going to go in that direction. I live in your district, in District 4. I've been in this area for 22 years, and it still takes 2.5 hours for a Lynx bus to get me from East Orange County to Disney. And it's been like that for 22 years. So I don't know where this money is going, but it's certainly not providing additional or modern transportation for the east side of Orange County. That's a fact. You know, so that's something, you know, that you may want to, you know, mention or find out why bus transport is so poor on this side of the county. You know, and there's so many questions that just all brought up in relation to the rest of this. There's no doubt the motivating factor for this surtax is to pay the debt, the never-ending, the perpetual debt on both Lynx and SunRail. When you do the math and you do all your adding and subtraction, we run a deficit annually of about $20 to $23 million a year on Lynx, which is beyond my comprehension because it's a monopoly. It should be rolling in the money, but it's not. So that shows there's obviously some internal failures on operation and performance. As for SunRail, as Sally stated, we don't need SunRail. We don't need train. Florida's not designed for that. I'm originally from New York City. Rest assured, they do not have the design of neighborhoods and stuff down here as they do out in New York City and the metro area there, where trains are a necessity. Here, they're not a necessity, and sometimes it's just a mere convenience, which means some people will use them whenever they feel they have the money or it's convenient for them. There's no buses that are going to meet them at every train station to provide door-to-door service for people who work in different areas. So the train will fail. But on the other note, which I should have mentioned, I don't want to lose track of the deficits here. About $20-23 million a year loss on Lynx, and it's around $50-60 million a year, and it keeps growing on SunRail. This is the main motivation for this tax, because they will be assuming 100% responsibility by mid-2024, because the state right now and the federal government is paying some of that, which is us. There is no state or federal government. It's we the people, and we're paying for that. We're not using the train, but we're paying for it. Now we're going to pay for it even more so and more direct when responsibility is transferred over to Orange County. As I said, in around mid-2024 is when we'll assume full responsibility. Jerry Demings is just trying to make sure he has his wallet full of our money when it comes time to pay those two outrageous, fiscally irresponsible forms of transport. As I said, this is something that Ms. Fonseca may want to check into. Why is Lynx failing and it's a monopoly? We need to know that. And we need representation in the east side of Orange County so we can understand why we have a poor system here, and it's not even enticing the people to use it, and there's no other alternative. So that boggles the mind. That's where leadership should come into play instead of all these ridiculous pieces of surtax legislation. And also, there's no defined. It's all, if you look at the particulars on SunRail, it's general. They're playing semantics. There's no specifics. When they say road improvement, what could that mean? They could be improving the roads for the buses. So they just put the money with the Lynx and say, well, yeah, this is where, you know, but it says Lynx. Oh, no, but it's for the roads, so the buses drive. It's semantics. You could argue with them all day. It's all generalities that they use in there. So we honestly will not know where this money is going directly. And the bottom line, what you're still doing behind the scenes right now is they're still trying to figure out who's going to oversee the responsibilities relating to SunRail. And there's back and forth. Buddy Dyer, as I understand it, wants Lynx to oversee it, which is ridiculous because Lynx can't even oversee itself. I don't know how they're going to oversee SunRail. But he wants that because he has the puppet strings on Lynx. So it'll give him more control. Some people in Tallahassee want FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, to oversee the transfer and the management of SunRail. So these are other things that Orange County legislatures should be knowing about and should be dealing with. You know, so there's so many variables still here. You know, this legislation, this surtax thing, is merely a ploy to get more of our money under the guise of improvement, which they're duty-bound to improve, to repair and improve our roads already. And they got the money for that already. They don't need money to do the basic repairs and improvement of our general nomenclature. So this is all fiscal hocus-pocus is what they're handing us. But these are points for Ms. Fonseca to think about and how maybe she want to address that if she ever speaks with the present District 4 commissioner.
Well, I'm going to put something out there and then give Mercedes a final wrap-up because I know she's going to have to drop here. Excuse me. The interesting part is because they're so far behind already, it's there, as you said, paying off, keeping it operational to this level means no improvement. So it's all bogus. But anyway, Mercedes, please go ahead and excuse me, whatever you can say, and then I know you got to continue on with the campaigning.
So, Tom did hit on a very crucial piece, which is the language isn't specific indicating where or how that money is going to be used. And that, for me, is a huge concern if it were to pass, because it's not like, once that money comes in, my concern is if there's another deficit elsewhere, that money can be used to fulfill that deficit. And so, again, that is very important that voters understand that the language isn't specific. It's generalized, but it isn't specific to state, how or where that money is going, how it's going to be used. And so, with regards to SunRail, right now there's just a north-south train. There is no east-west connection, which, makes it a little difficult for those of us that live on either side, east or west of the county, or of downtown, if you will. So now during my tenure with the county and SunRail, it was my understanding that the county was prepared to, and it was budgeted to incur that cost. So if that has changed, I don't know why or how that's changed. But, again, that's been some time ago while I was in District 3. So, but again, I am aware that transportation is not what it could be or what it should be. And so it is definitely a more robust transportation system. We do absolutely need that. It can absolutely bring a lot of jobs and help boost the economy because it opens this market, our market here, to be able to even host, national, international events. Right now, we're not even able to compete with these other cities that have that capability. But that aside, it is up to the voters whether or not they would like to increase the sales tax. Just keep in mind the language is not specific as to where that money is going to be used or how it's going to be used. And so Tom is correct. And so, I think I've mentioned or I've at least answered some of his points, and I know Tom that you are in the district, and so I encourage you to reach out anytime you have a question or if I can be of assistance. Don't hesitate to reach out.
Okay, thank you. If you have an opportunity, the people on the east side of Orange County want to know why the buses, after 22 years that I've been living here, are still operating under the same dismal schedule that they got.
So now my understanding is that there's not enough, whether it's, I don't know if it's ridership, but anytime you make any change to the schedule at a stop, it's astronomically expensive. So I don't know if that plays a role into it or not, but I, certainly something that I've made notes on to follow up with links.
Yeah, you got to remember there's no enticement for people to use it. When I first came here, I was interested in seeing if I would need that in times of need until I found out you could go out there at 5 in the morning and maybe get to work on time at 8 o'clock. So, there's no enticement. The old saying, if you build it, they will come. They're not building an effective and efficient transportation system, so the people are not enticed to use it. And like I said, it's still the same here. 2.5 hours to go from here to Disney, you know, 22 years residing in the same place. That's dismal. That's poor management, and it's fiscal irresponsibility. That's why we need some representation that's actually going to try leading. Leadership is what's the void in this county right now.
Hey, and Mercedes, let me mention one other thing real quick. Me and some others went down to Lynx years ago. We proposed other options when it came to busing, because the busing that they have today will never support Sunrail. We did told people, go door-to-door from where you live using bus Lynx to get to the train and then the train to get to where you're going. And, of course, they can't do it. It's not feasible in any sense. But what we proposed back then, there were two systems. One was an express bus that would be more going long distances across town from the land to Disney or whatever else. But the other one, which was more important, which could be very easily done, and really could be done by the private sector to a big degree, is a bus hub system, so that you would have the smaller shuttle buses going through different neighborhoods and then connecting them so that people could make transfers, and it would take you maybe an hour instead of 2 or 3 hours to get someplace.
Right,
but,
a lot less time.
You know, it falls on deaf ears. The deaf ears, they don't want to listen to it because that's not their goal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just on the surface, it seems, you know, like it would certainly it meets a need, and it certainly cuts down on time. So I would be interested in seeing what, you know, what you proposed at that time.
Okay. I'm sure I have a copy of it.
The backup. I would certainly be interested to see what you have.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Any other words of wisdom you want to give us in reference to your candidacy and anything? And then, again, I understand you gotta move on.
I appreciate the time that you and the listeners hearing me chat a little bit. And, you know, I also want to inform your listeners in case they're unaware, but also you've got numerous board members in the current commission that would like to increase their salary by 21%. So, you know, it's a truly sad state of affairs. And so, like Tom said, we do need new leadership. And, you know, we need to restore public trust. And so I hope to earn the public's trust and vote of confidence November 8th or before. And so, you know, I'm excited that we've started early voting and looking forward to what the results are going to be on November 8th.
Excellent. And what's your website?
My website is www.vote4Mercedes. It's M like Mary, E, R like Robert, C like Charlie, E, D like David, E, S like Sam, .com. So Mercedes felt just like the car.
Yes, excellent. Thank you so much for joining. And, hey, we're going to be on until 9 o'clock. If you get a chance, call back in. If you have anything else you want to share with us, then you're more than welcome.
Thank you so much, Sally. And it was nice talking to you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You guys have a great
– okay. Whoops. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway,
bye-bye.
Very good information. Are you still there? Yep. Okay. She has officially dropped now. Technology doesn't always quite work the way we think it does. A question came up in the chat on this one, Tom, and this one, is the committee, citizens committee thing, are those going to be voluntary positions or are they going to be getting paid? Another question I don't think I saw clarified in that referendum.
Well, as we well know, sometimes these are voluntary positions, but they're stepping stones for partisan buddyship amongst politicians. They'll put a friend of theirs in there who's looking maybe to run for a commissioner somewhere, and it's voluntary, but their name gets out there. They start hobnobbing, and the motivation of caring about how this money is spent will be secondary in many cases. because they're going to pick. Now, if we allow the people to pick these committees, that may be a different perspective. But when we allow the politicians, that's just it, allowing them to install additional puppets so they can play the game their way with their rules. So chances are, as you well know, that's probably what it's going to be. You got to write to your local commissioner or something, since Orange County will be running the show directly or indirectly. Probably have to write to your district commissioner, and if you're good buddies with them or something, they'll give you an appointment. And it'll still be a serious appointment, most likely. It'll be you'll still be probably recognized as a public official, you know, but probably no salary and stuff like that. But like I said, it's motivation, or I should say it's incentive for those who are looking to climb the public ladder in relationship to an elected office somewhere down the line. Sadly, you and I will, our desires and needs of the community will probably take a back seat.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. And just for the record, for those listening who know me again from Orange County, I attempted to get on a citizens board thing with the Expressway Authority. Gosh, they didn't let me in. Yet here, my focus was on transportation, period, improving the transportation system. But and I sent several say, yeah, you discriminated against me because I've opposed your reckless spending, and you don't want anybody who's going to be honest and see what you're doing, which is what it really is. But people have to accept that. Growth and transportation in Central Florida in general, but Orange County is the absolute pits. It's all self-inflicted. It's all just a scam. This is nothing but a fancy slush fund for these people. I mean, like I said, if they were really going to use this money to remove the tolls off of the expressway, which would cost money to remove, you know, I could maybe, but it would have to, the writing, the language would have to be so specific. Otherwise, you'd never trust them to do that either. But they would have the transportation. What was it? The breaking it down. They say this is the carefully written claim the county makes and breaking it down.
Yeah, well, I wrote that, yeah. And I intentionally used it like that because they want to make it sound like they're complying with the curiosity of the citizens. You know, when they say, oh, we're going to repair roadway and stuff like that, they may just repair certain roadways that will allow for safe driving with the Lynx bus. You know what I'm saying? So we're not all going to buy services. Everything they're going to do as a priority, in my opinion, is to focus on upgrading Lynx and Sunrail. And even now, they're not shy. They already said publicly that they want to add improvements to both Lynx and Sunrail with all this money. So they're bold about it, and they're not shy, which means they're basically saying, yes, they're both running massive million-dollar deficits, but we're going to make them better. How could you make them better? You're starting in the basement. You're operating on a deficit. You can't raise them up from that because they're not improving the system. They want to upgrade. Like you say, you referenced before, the electric buses. The electric bus is going to be a joke. They're going to fail, you know, and that's a story to get into another time. But the bottom line here is if Lynx and Sunrail are running a deficit now, your object of responsibility is to make them efficient, not to make them fancy. You know, you don't take an inefficient worker and put a suit on them and say, well, not now that he's got a suit on, he's going to be a better worker. It's not going to work like that. But that's what they want to do. They want to put a suit. They want to dress him up. They want to dress up Lynx, and they want to dress up Sunrail and make him look more attractive with all this extra money. But they're still going to run deficits. And I should be saying this every 2 minutes to the people. You got to vote no, because that's about a $70 to $80 million deficit each year between Lynx and Sunrail. That's so important. That's your money. That's not going to go for crime or lights or safety or anything else in your neighborhood. It's not going to go to that. It's going to go to these luxury concepts, these boondoggles, you know, that these so-called leaders made poor investments on. They gambled with your money. They lost, and now they want to go back to the casino and gamble again. And we're just sitting here allowing them to do it. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. You know, we've gotten so lazy and laid back. Now, I bet you if we raise the taxes on people's cable boxes or whatever they got at home, then you'll see people get upset because that, you know, you can't take away their entertainment. So,
Here's the other thing, and Karen's out there, and I know she's got some info on this too, that this regional piece of it's really something. But people have to understand that this is what they've been saying for years. They will never have enough money for transportation. They will always be doing it. But in this case here, how much of this is all part of this something to do with this what they called their infrastructure bill from D.C.? And I personally haven't read it, so I'm not going to say that I know it for sure, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be garbage in that bill that says, hey, Florida, Orange County, we'll give you this many dollars, this much, many millions, whatever it will be. You can match it if you get and you go replace your buses with electric buses. The fact that they won't work, they won't improve transportation or your bus system or anything else, that really isn't relevant. We want to show that we're green, which, of course, the truth is the electric buses are worse for the environment than the others, if the truth matters. But it's nothing to do with that. It's all about spending money and waste, and it's so absolutely despicable. And it remains so.
Everyone's bogged down in this system that they've been using for decades now, where basically an application for this federal tax money, our money, is nothing but the art of writing something that doesn't make any sense, but it's lengthy and it's subject matter. And that's what, you know, people are going to read and say, oh, my God, I don't understand what they're saying, and they're going to throw the piece of paper away, but it's going to qualify them for additional money. And you know that they're going to be chomping at the bit once they get, once they put the name Sunrail on there. Oh, yeah, the federal government's going to, oh, yeah, that's Sunrail. Oh, that's a train. Yeah, people are going to use that. They're not going to care. They're going to write this up like people are waiting in line for hours to get on Sunrail, and we need more money to put more cars on the rail and everything. It's a bunch of professional lying. That's what it is. It's the art of lying where you actually make it sound like what you're saying has substance to it. And it's a sad commentary, but this is what they've been doing for decades. So the idea is, as the old saying, when you lie enough, you start believing it to be the truth. And that's what's going on. Unfortunately, they're doing it with our money. Let them lie and connive and fool each other with their own money. But they're doing it with our money, and that's the sad part.
Yeah, well, I got Karen. I'm going to have Karen chime in here, but I'm going to mention one other thing, and I know you'll follow up on this one in just a minute. Amazing how much money they had to build a road for Universal Studios, right? Their new theme park. They had money to go build a road for a multi-billion-dollar corporation while they were destroying that community, and, of course, they didn't have money to spend on the other things. Now, Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Karen, if you're okay.
I am here.
You're another Floridian. Actually, you're also a New Yorker as well, so you know a little bit about transportation in both environments. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I agree with everything Tom said except the last point. And I think that's where we miss, because the upper tier, the half of a percent or the 1% that is running all of this, to them the plan is working beautifully. The idea was to get the Americans all excited about new businesses, give them lots of money, which they, of course, then turn around and donate back to the Democrat Party, so they're paying themselves. They're making a lot of money. They don't care about us. They don't care about us is the big deal. They actually want us dead because that's what they tell us all the time. Depopulation. Their goal is not for the rails and roadways to run properly. They don't want us to use them. And by the way, who will use them after they eliminate all of the gas cars and give everyone electric cars that they will shut off. This is a power play. It is all about control, and you have to do exactly what you're doing, which is fight back. And I would, on an off topic, but I just got reminded of it, any commissioner or whoever that needs a raise, well, you know, it's inflation. So you gave the seniors 8.7%, correct? I think we should give them 8.7%. They're no better than us. Why are they getting $200,000 a year to destroy the country? And we sit back and listen. We're watching them do it when we should be saying no, and hopefully we will have enough new blood in the Republican Party that will be able to say no. But going back to this, we have to understand their philosophy is what they call a Malthusian philosophy, where the ends justify the means. So therefore, lying, just like in the Muslim religion,
yep,
just like the communists, this is what they teach. The ends justify the means. So say anything you need to say in order to keep power. Period. That's it. Now, once we get our people to understand that, you can fight back. Because all you have to do is say to them, oh, really? Prove it. Show me in writing where it is. Because all they're doing is making up talking points. They also have been in Keynesian economics, which is basically the one with the biggest debt is the winner. And this is what they believe. This is what, now, again, the 1% doesn't believe this. They know what's going on because they're manipulating it. And I'm talking about the George Soros and the Bill Gates and all of the others. This is what they're manipulating. And then they know what is their goal. Depopulation. Okay, how many ways can we depopulate? Well, let's have the people focus on abortion, and let's have them focus on COVID, and let's have them focus on whatever, a gas crisis, but never let them understand that our goal is to kill them. So just like was pointed out in Obamacare, when you reach a certain age, your government health care that you paid for all those years will go away because you'll be too old and you won't be necessary. So these are all the things that are, they're all tied together. So the fact that they have us fighting on one thing and then fighting on something else and then fighting on something else and then in the meantime you're a racist. So they have all of these things, you know, you throw enough crap against the wall and something sticks. They don't want it to stick. They want it to slide down because then we can go around and around and around. In the meantime, they can rob us blind, which is what they have been doing.
Well, Tom, I think Tom's nickname for Demings is Candyman because he gives his money to all his friends kind of thing, and then for anything but, of course, transportation. And the other thing, just and not to get off subject, we'll get back on that before this show is over, but the when it comes to transportation in Orange County, the AMA, this is another part of the scam, and it probably ties into all of this too. I just assume it does because, again, it's wasteful spending on slush fund stuff. The AMA is the Alternative Mobility Area, another big scam, fraud, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if they still have it in place, but what it does, they go and say, well, if you go, we will give you preferential deals, tax deals, whatever else for builders who are going to build high density in this particular area, and you're not going to worry about widening the roads because you're going to put everybody on a bus or on a bicycle. I mean, this kind of insanity.
I'm not familiar with Orange County transportation, but I could tell you a little bit about New York transportation because that's where it's all copied.
Yeah, we don't want to get too far into somebody else's transportation. We got a serious issue right now. We want to get the Orange County citizens. They can still go out there and make a difference if they vote no on this particular item. I don't want to digress. You know, respectfully, I don't want to digress into New York's transportation, you know, and too much because then the people are not going to know what we're talking about. Let's focus on Orange County right now.
Karen, go ahead and finish that, but then we'll focus on Orange County.
Okay, let me
go ahead, Karen, and then we'll get back on Orange County.
Okay. All I was going to say is that the transportation system that New York City and New Jersey have plunged billions, if not trillions of dollars in, is now a traveling homeless shelter. So keep that in mind.
And
this is what we're paying for.
Yeah, that would be a better use for someone.
And when they're not in a drug-induced coma, they're pushing somebody in front of the train. And also, that were electric. But you talk about Orange County because that's not my fight right now. Bye.
Yep. It's tax abuse. It's tax abuse. And then we're going to get into some other stuff a little bit later. So, Karen, please hang on. Don't go anywhere because, you know, we got plenty to talk about. But on this thing here with Orange County, if anybody who's dealt with Orange County, if you want to talk about that AMA thing, it's such a scam. Everything they do, it comes down to growth. They want the growth. They want. They're bragging of how many people moved to Orange County or Central Florida. It's like, but you can't support them. You don't. Not in addition to the transportation, there's no water. Blah blah blah. But it's all part of the same thing. They are determined to have these people come there, even though there's no way for them to get around. And then they're going to play these kind of games, these stupid kind of taxes. And let's see, I'm just going to go down the things that, and Tom, you can chime in on the traffic signals. They need all this money for traffic signals and street lights, blah blah blah, roads, adding lanes and resurfacing.
They're duty bound to do that anyway. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's like when these people go out there to promote themselves to get reelected. They come out and say, I did this, I did that. Well, hello, that's your job. You did your job, and that's it. You know, could you imagine anybody going out there? Imagine when I was painting houses. I'm going to say, well, yes, I want you to reelect me because I was painting houses all year. Well, yeah, that's what you got elected for, to paint the houses. Same thing with them. They're promoting redundancy, and it's just so unprofessional because none of them, very rarely, I should say, step out of bounds of their job and become real, actual leaders. And that's the problem. But let me just get back to a couple things here. People vote no. If anybody's listening, even if you don't live in Orange County, but you know some people in Orange County, send them an email. Tell them vote no on the 1% sales tax because we are going to be paying on average $80 to $90 million a year of deficits for the bus and the rail system. That's been going on for years, so we're not making that up. As a matter of fact, SunRail goes up from like $7 to $10 million each year. You know, so these are sinful. Put it that way, they're operating on deficits every year. You know, you can't even bet on them. You couldn't even bet on them because they're losing money. You couldn't get neither one of these systems on the gambling table because nobody would gamble on them. They're losers, and they want us to finance losers. We got loser elected officials promoting losing entities, and that's why you got to vote no, because now they're getting so arrogant, even Brightline, which I don't know how Brightline is going to exist, but Brightline is saying they're going to collaborate with SunRail and maybe combine both systems together. So,
and remember,
Sorry, Tom, I got to cut in on this one. Anybody listening, remember, because we fought this. We said Brightline will never last on its own. They kept acting like this was the private sector taking care of it. And what happens? Of course, they can't handle it. We knew they wouldn't be able to. So who was going to get involved and who's going to have to pay the bill? It's going to be us for a system that does nothing. Shut the darn thing down. The taxpayers have already put too much money. They said it was tax-free. Well, that's because we gave them a bunch of tax breaks. Well, isn't tax breaks the same as us still paying for it? I mean, it's insane. But this whole crap with the other train, which was all going to be privately funded, garbage, and now they're trying to screw us on that one, too. You got to say no.
Yeah, so they're going to collaborate with them. That's the talk. That Bright Line, I forgot what they're going to call it, the Sunshine Causeway or something like that, where, you know, where basically they may combine efforts and become a singular corporation, you know, which means that Bright Line, who knows, maybe they'll sell their rights to the state. I don't know. It's just frightening because Florida is not set up for that. As Karen said before, and I mentioned earlier, we lived in a metro area, a high-density area, where trains are needed because people were coming from other states, Connecticut, Long Island, New Jersey. They needed a train to go into work in Manhattan. We don't have a Manhattan in Florida anywhere. So there's no enticement for anybody to come from Georgia or Louisiana or anywhere else to take a train to go to work in Florida. And that's the sole existence. That's the sole reason for the enticement of taking trains. We don't have that here. The trains will never work. I don't need a crystal ball to figure this one out. You know, and
okay.
For the people's education.
I got two questions for you.
No, let me just finish what I'm saying here.
Okay.
Sally mentioned the AMA, the Alternative Mobility Area. And I discovered these similar type. This is a housing. This is projected housing. How they're going to design their community, and this is all over the country. It's not restricted only to Florida or Central Florida. Basically, what they're going to do, and they're doing it already in this area. They want to build high density housing, a lot of apartment complexes. Shove 300, 400, 500 people in a small acreage where maybe 10, 12 families may live in residential housing. And then they're going to make it hard to drive, so you'll have to use their buses. It's control of the citizenry. This is real. I read the language of the AMA, and like I said, this is all over the country. They want us to live in high-density housing so they can reach out and seek more federal funds to make buses. They're going to entice and incentivize the people to use buses, not use cars. This way they control the transportation. This is a long-range plan. It's all tied in. It's tied into the rail system. It's tied into the roadways. They want to control everything. You can't control people who live in a rural setting, but you can control people who are compounded all together in these high-density housing projects. This is real stuff, people. And it may not affect you, but your children or your grandchildren are going to be saying, my God, you know, where else is there to go live like a normal human in the United States? There will not be anywhere because this is the plan. And for Central Florida, it's projected all the way up to 2030. This is real stuff. So people need to pay attention. When we're talking about the trains, we're also talking about how and where you're going to live.
Exactly, which all comes down to the sustainable development part, but we're not going to take a dive into that, but that's what this all ties into. But the question of two things I was going to ask, I thought they were doing something in Orange County, or it might have been Osceola County, Orange County, with the remote driverless buses. And then also the other thing with it, with the bus and with, mass transit, not just say mass transit, forget bus versus rail, but isn't there a problem now with COVID and viruses and people being all together? Then, of course, you've got all the crime on top of it as well. So, I mean, it's insane in so many ways. It's just disgusting. But weren't they doing something with the driverless buses or something there in Central Florida?
I think in the Lake Bona area, they were doing something with these, what they call them, autonomous buses and stuff, which is a joke. We can't cure the common cold, but we're going to have buses, driverless buses going around. It's ridiculous. We're pushing too hard to get into the future, and we can't even fix the present. This is how bad we are. You know, I don't want to be in a vehicle that's driverless, you know, that I have no control over and some guy can hack into, you know, some guy in California can hack into my bus here in Florida and make the bus go into a retention pond. I mean, this is idiotic and ridiculous. Let's make the present livable and applicable to the humans that are here. Let's stop trying to get into, you know, space and the future, you know, for 2424 or something like that. It's ridiculous. We have so many problems right now that we need to fix in the present day. You know, this is just hocus-pocus stuff once again. And I'm sure if we traced it, we could find out that somewhere along the line, they used taxpayers' dollars to develop these autonomous vehicles.
Exactly. And then the key of all this, I mean, when you're going in there to make this decision of who you're going to elect, for one, and then also to vote on such referendums like this, is do you truly believe that they're working in your best interest? What do you really believe is behind this? And with everything, I mean, many of us, Tom, me and Karen, I mean, we've been fighting this crap for decades. We've been trying to tell people what was going on. And I mean, when it comes to transportation, how easy is it to say, well, because people complain in Orange County every day about transportation, before the lockdowns and, of course, now too. But it's like, you know, they're going to say, well, transportation is so screwed up. We've got to do something. You need to do the right thing, not something, the right thing. How did you get in the stupid mess you're in? If you don't go out there and look about why you have the screwed up transportation system you have today, throwing more money at it, it's only going to make it more screwed up. It's not going to help it. And so you got to say no to this insanity. And, you know, I'm hoping, hey, Jerry Demings, you out there listening? Which, by the way, Demings got elected in a primary. Nobody should be elected in a primary, but that's another story. But you got to say no to this crap. It's not. I guarantee you, for anybody who would support this crazy transportation surtax under the false premise or guise of it improving transportation, you are drinking way too much Kool-Aid. It ain't going to happen. Until you get them to control the growth and the other crap, right now you got to worry about Orange County is going to start flooding all the time because of their reckless building and areas flooding today. If they can't even manage the water like that from the wetlands, a.k.a. swamps, they can't handle the transportation. They have totally, totally mismanaged growth. Not everybody in the world can live in Orange County, but they haven't figured this out. So until they get that part done, which is the AMA, this was a plan to go out there and incentivize all this high density to cram a bunch of people into a little space and try to control it. And also, it all comes down to it, and I'm sure Karen's going to chime in on this in a few minutes, but it all comes down to the ultimate goal, which Tom said, control. They want to control us. They're going to say, well, by having everybody live together, you're protecting the climate. You're protecting the environment. No, you're not. You're making it more filthy, and you're spreading disease much worse, and you're destroying your water system. It's worse. And you're also making yourself a target for a terrorist attack. If you're going to have a terrorist attack, are you going to go where there's one or two people, or are you going to go where there's a few thousand or a million people? It's all stupid. It's all BS from these crooked public officials. What is their goal? And I call just about every one of them, Demings and company, a bunch of socialist communists. They would call them what they are. We're really, again, like Trump said, we're past socialism, communism. They're trying to destroy this country, and they're trying to line their own wallets and their pockets at the same time. Totally disgusting. Anyway, I did that ranting. Tom, anything else you want to add on to this one? Any other key points we want to let people know?
I just want to remind people that I said I was going to do in the beginning because I'm going to be making my exit here. The big hook is pulling me off the stage. But I need the people to vote no. If you're going to vote, if you're undecided, or as I said earlier, if you live in another county but you know people or family in Orange County, email them. Tell them to vote no. This is only a disaster. This is only going to have detrimental returns to the citizenry. People are going to suffer, and these people are going to be sitting there like poor chemists who don't know anything with this big laboratory, compliments of our money, and they're going to explode the whole community with their poor management, poor leadership. This is serious stuff. They're going to misspend this money. Sunrail is not going to get any better because it doesn't have the people to make it better. It doesn't have the ridership. I've always called it, from its inception, I called it the ghost train, because that's all you see when it's going down the tracks. You see shadows of what could be, but it isn't. And Lynx, I can't even think of the formula for them. They operate a monopoly. They should be making money hand over fist, yet they can't. That borders on incompetence, at the very least, fiscal incompetence, and it's disgraceful. We shouldn't be giving them nothing except the sign where the exit is to get out of Central Florida, but we do it anyway. I can't explain, you know, people's subserviency to political leadership. I can't explain it, don't understand it, and it's extremely frustrating. But at this point in time, as we're speaking, and one of the intentions of this show is to get the citizenry to go out there and vote no, no, no on the transportation surtax of 1% in Orange County. Stop it now and let them take their own wallets out. They don't need to take your wallet out and take the money out of it. On that note, here's the hook. It's dragging me off the stage. Farewell. Good night.
Thank you, Tom. Always good info, and it's so true. It really is the truth. Just totally disgusting what they do to us. And it's beyond belief. It's evil. It's evil. We have to call these people what they are. They are truly evil. So anyway, the other thing I was going to mention. Oops, shoot, he just dropped. The other thing, too, for the surrounding counties, again, I think like someone was saying, Mercedes, I believe, said, I believe Osceola County, which is right near Disney, it's adjoining to Orange County there. I believe their board rejected this. So they won't be putting this on their ballot, but they're wanting to make this a regional thing, and that really gets messy. And Karen, I know you can talk about the goal of this sustainability, what it really means, and then regionalism, how they're trying to bring all this stuff together. It's so absolutely corrupt. And I mean, please, anybody listen to me, make sure you talk to people in the surrounding counties. If Seminole County is doing this, it's usually Seminole County, Lake County, and Osceola County, I think are the three that are with Orange County, to come together as a region. So contact the people in these others too, because this is going to be on, except for Osceola County, I guess, they're probably trying to pass this garbage in their areas too. And then you're going to get them all working together to do something? Dear Lord, help us. Dear Lord, help us. It's a bad deal. And I have seen, and by the way, this is what we've talked about here tonight so far is a major reason why I left Orange County, Florida. I was so sick of living through their garbage that I just had to say enough already. So anyway, Karen, anything you want to chime in on that? And then I see Joe has hit the button, so he's going to want to chime in, but we will go ahead and get an update, and then we'll get Joe in here.
Oh, okay. Well, I was looking for a quote that I had about regionalism, because regionalism is the precursor to communism. But all of what you are describing and everything that's going on can be found in my very most favorite document, United Nations Agenda 21, 2030, New Green Deal, Build Back Better, and any other of these absurd, smart, resilient cities program. These are all United Nations programs put together by guess who? With Microsoft help, and we even have the contract that Bill Gates signed with UNESCO to provide this education that will take away our property rights, parental rights, human rights, and put all of us subservient critters in these mega cities. And as Tom was describing it, I'm thinking, well, they're going to put you in the mega city and take away your cars, and there won't be any service because you'll be living on top of where you work. Where you work will be on the bottom, and you will live on top. And how do I know this? Because this is the way New York was designed. This is the way all of them, the cities have been designed. It was copied from the, quote, Detroit model. Now, in order to put all of these things in place, they dreamed up regionalism, and that was the quote that I was looking for of why they said it was so important. But basically what he was saying is that regionalism must precede communism or socialism, because you use regionalism to eliminate the elected officials. For example, somebody has a problem with transportation. You can't go to your county commissioner and say, or, you know, whoever is in charge, and say, I'm having trouble with transportation. And their answer is going to be, well, you have to go talk to the regional guy who did this. We didn't do this. This was blah, blah, blah. And then you think to yourself, did I elect that person? No. So who are they going to pay attention to? Not me. And I just found the quote. And it is from the UN Commission on Global Governance. What a surprise. What did they say? Regionalism must precede globalism. We foresee a seamless system of governance from local communities, individuals, national, regional unions, way up to the United Nations itself. So therefore, you don't need borders. That's why this border nonsense doesn't mean anything to them, because they have no intention of keeping United States, because, well, here is what they think about sovereignty. And this is from Lester Brown, who is in charge of the World Watch Institute, which is a globalist think tank that works very closely with the WEF and Klaus Schwab. What a surprise. What did they say? Nations are in effect ceding portions of their sovereignty to the international community and beginning to create a new system of international environmental governance as a means of solving otherwise unmanageable crises. Now, does that sound like what's going on today? Because that is right out of United Nations Agenda 21, 2030, New Green Deal, Green New Deal, Build Back Better, and all the other stupid green programs that they have created. Now, I wanted to ask Sally, Orange County filled with a lot of immigrants?
Oh, wow.
And I don't mean illegals. I'm not talking about illegals. I don't care one way or the other. Is there a large immigrant population?
I would say yes. We've definitely had a fair amount of Puerto Ricans and Cubans have come there, and Haitians, and plenty of immigrants.
Okay. Now that is the answer to Tom's question of you don't understand why this is going on. These people have come from countries where being impoverished means eating ketchup sandwiches every day, if you even got the ketchup. So they come to America, and being poor is to them being incredibly rich. And, of course, the Democrats are offering free everything, so they think that's the best thing since sliced bread. The problem that's coming up now is that you have the children of the children who learned a little bit about America, enough to know that they wanted, I want to do it myself. I don't want no government telling me what to do. And this is now part of the major clash and why, if the Republicans are smart, which I don't think so, and really want to win instead of really wanting to lose, which is what they do most of the time. So we have to deal with new Republicans, not the crop that's there right now, the Kevin McCarthy's, who is so incredibly stupid that he plays his poker hands so that everybody can see his cards. What kind of an idiot says, we're going to take impeachment off the table?
Oh,
yeah. You're giving away your biggest bargaining chip before you even start to play the game. Oh, that man is so incredibly stupid. Well, we are also living as victims of affirmative action. And affirmative action was designed to, quote, level the playing field, but by using race. You have to have X number of minorities on your board. You have to have X number of minorities, blacks, whatever. Whatever was the flavor of the month on your board, in your corporations, in your buildings, blah, blah, blah. Where is all of that coming from? Well, go back to what the guy just said. They're going to use the environment as the catch-all tool to entice everybody because that's multinational. That's international. Everybody in the world, no matter where you are, is affected by climate. So they'll use that. But now go back and look. Hitler used climate. Mao used climate. They all did the same. We should be smarter than that and say, oh, really? Explain me. Show me. Tell me. Because all they are giving us is what they call projections, and they work on the, I will think of it in a minute, last part of it is principle, but what it means is that they are predicting in advance. You heard Fauci, we have to work on the worst case scenario.
I was
going to
say it's the Fauci principle.
You have to work on the. So what happens? That's always at the worst case scenario. It is rarely the worst case scenario. That's number one. And you have spent all of this ridiculous amounts of money chasing something that's not the problem. When if you prepared the people for what may happen, and you say, okay, we learned about what to do in the winter, blah blah blah. We learned about this. And then you didn't get to go and say, okay, everybody, we're going to be practicing or working on the tornado, whatever, help, or the fire help, or whatever. The people are prepared. They know what to do. They're not afraid. But that's not the way the Democrat, communist game works. Oh, it is the precautionary principle. So they use computer models. Well, if you have Cat 5 hurricanes in a row, guess what's going to happen? You think you might need a couple of you think?
They
decimated the fishing industry because we used to work with Captain Sid Prescott, and he explained how that one worked. They would put, let's say we have 30 million red snappers are no longer in the ocean. What does that mean? Well, it means that you're going to run out of red snapper and it's an endangered species. Okay, Noah, we now have on the endangered species list the red snapper and nobody's allowed to fish. That's what they did.
Hold that thought. Don't leave that. We got Joe out there, so you can go ahead and finish on that. And then we want.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Joe's going to chime in on the transportation or something else, but it's all relative. It's all related. People have
it's
to understand this is all part of the same thing. So if you want to kind of wrap up on that one just real quick, and then I'll get Joe in here and we can continue on.
My pleasure. So key points: everything is connected. Nothing is random. Everything has a plan, and all plans are designed to be failures. They are built on lies. This is about money, power, and control,
and they hate us. They want the earth depopulated. They want to wish their magic wand and make us disappear. So don't go away.
And we will continue on, but I want to make sure Joe's been out there.
Yes,
he's been waiting for a little while. And,
of course.
I want to make sure he gets a chance to chime in here.
Yeah,
hey, Joe,
yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, Sally. Hello, King. Yeah, I've been only waiting 10 minutes.
And I saw you at the beginning. You were out there to begin with, then you stopped. So anyway, yes, go ahead.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was I heard you on Gibson's show last week.
Oh.
And
I was wondering if you were listening.
Yeah, I called in, but they didn't pick up. You had said mainly the same things that I was, going to say. But the thing is that I think it was somebody on his show that said that they need a hub, some kind of exchange for conservatives to go to. And the reason I'm calling in tonight is to let you know, in case you don't know it, a hub has already been created by a very prominent BTR hostess. And it's called Save My Freedom Movement. So anybody can go there, and you can exchange ideas. They have Zoom, I think, every Thursday. So just in case you were interested about it, I was thinking about gathering all the conservative talk show hosts, putting them on Donnie's show with me as the moderator, letting them know what was happening. But then I thought about it. I said, I'm not going to go through that trouble of getting together all these talk show conservative hosts. It would be like herding cats worse than trying to herd in the libertarians. So I figured anytime I go on a conservative show, I'll just let people know if they're really interested, if they really think that coming together. I mean, every talk show that's conservative on Block Talk should get together. And if they think it's worthwhile, everybody can do it themselves instead of me being the coordinator. So I just wanted to say that. That was it.
Okay, well, and yes, I was really wondering if you were listening, because that got kind of nasty on that call, some of the nonsense they were saying back to me. But they were saying something about that they had all these groups all over the country that were all doing their own thing and that they needed to be working together, and that's where that kind of came up. And I said something about that. I said, well, who from your organization is reaching out to all these other groups? And then they said they were. It's like, well, wait a minute, you just said you weren't. I don't know, whatever. And I mean, we're all on the same side. It was kind of crazy
right. What
they were doing, but whatever, you know.
Yeah, it was. It got a little bit out of hand, but then you and Joe made up at the end, so everything was good. And, you know, it's – I'm going to go on the show tomorrow and tell him the same thing, but I have to restrain myself from telling him that the people he's associating himself with – I don't know if, you know, at 10 years ago, maybe they had a, a good plan and everything, but I think right now it's kind of counterproductive. So they have Joe and his group, they have meetings, they have Zoom meetings, but this particular group, which was founded by Michelle Swinnick, who not only is a talk show host, she goes on other famous talk programs. She was on Joe Bannon's show, recently. So she knows some of the people who are in the forefront for the conservative movement. So she founded this particular site. It's called SaveMyFreedomMovement.org and .com, or you can look it up in Google. It's fairly well organized. Like I said, they have Zoom meetings, I think, on Thursdays. It's there for people to exchange ideas. It's not there for people to join her group. She does have a particular agenda, but that's not the purpose of the website. It's for people to get together and share. And maybe out of that sharing, people can come up with some good ideas. And like I said, I was thinking about organizing it, but I said, oh, crap, I know some of these talk show people, and I would have to come off very, very rude in order to keep people from trying to commandeer it. So I just want to let you know. The site is well organized. I haven't attended any of the meetings. But it's a good idea for those who think it's a good idea. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having the idea and, participating in it, sharing ideas. And, nobody needs to be a leader of the conservative group. That's something people don't understand. All you need is have everybody do their thing, but then coordinate with each other every once in a while to find out if they can help each other. That's my my take on it.
Well, and I think part of the issue has been, and which I think they may have even said on the show last Tuesday.
You did.
You have all these different groups, and they all have their own leaders. They all have their plan, which is the right plan, and the same is true of them. This is the plan. We want you to follow our plan. And I actually did send something to Joe saying, you know, because they acted like the MAGA people were, and they're not going to do anything. And of course, I really kind of chuckle when and I, Joe, if you're listening, please call in and chime in. He ran for Congress in
right,
North Carolina, I think it was. He ran for Congress, but yet he's telling me, why are you wasting your time voting? Well, wait a minute. Why did you waste your time running for Congress? It was kind of a little bit of craziness on some of the stuff. But, I mean, we are on
well,
the
that wasn't
side.
That wasn't exactly
side.
Him. That was a guy named Mike, I think. Mike and somebody else who, who was talking about, about.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. I heard that. Oh, okay.
There were a couple of them saying that, well, what is voting doing? Because my point that I made to Joe in a separate communication was to say, you know, you guys might want to – I said, I'm looking at what's going on across this country. And there's a lot of America First or MAGA people out there. If you think you're going to get your thing going here and you're going to ignore all those people – I mean, you may not like Trump, but he gets people's attention, and they're rallying together for the right reason.
I remember you saying that.
It was insane what they said. So you're tuning out a very large group of patriots who want to save this country, and somehow you think if they don't do it your way, it's wrong. Hey, whatever. So it was not the best of shows, but
it was a good show. It was a good show. I mean, tempers did flare up, but at the same time, like I said, you and Joe made up at the end, and everything was copacetic. So that's the, you're always going to have disagreements, no matter what, because everybody thinks that their, as you were saying, everybody thinks that their idea is the best idea. What I like about an exchange idea or a hub is that exchange ideas, you don't have to agree with what the other person's saying. If you can help them, help them. If they can help you, let them help you. If you can't, then you go your own way. But everybody should be open to some sort of organization. And I'm thinking that if people can get the different organizations together, they can get some power just by doing that and telling congressmen, look, we've got 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people in our organization or different organizations, and they can either make you or break you this coming election, especially if it's like the lower level. So that would be a good idea. But again, I'm not rounding up people. I don't have a very, very – I'm not diplomatic with some people. And
I think you're very diplomatic. Come on.
Yeah, right. You haven't heard me on some shows.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. We said we're just so everybody knows, Joe and I did talk, and we're going to have him host a show on Blog Talk Radio here, American Statesman, at some point here. Whether we're going to do it before the election, I don't know if we're going to get a chance to do it, but we're going to have Joe host a show, and we're gonna just put it out there. He's going to tell it like it is.
No, it's not exactly that. It's just that I wanted to host a show. If you ever have political candidates lined up so that I can grill them and then people can download the show, because people too willingly always vote for the person with the smoothest tongue, the nicest hair, the prettiest makeup. And the way that I grill a candidate is to, get a commitment from them to do something for the people within the first 2 weeks that they're there. And if they can't do that, then they will allow the people who voted them in to vote them out in 1 month, okay, as opposed to 2 years, 4 years, or six-year terms. If you don't do what you're going to say in the particular vein within the first week or 2 weeks that you're in, then you will allow your constituents to sign petitions to get your ass out of there. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because if a what? I know. What?
No, I'm saying, but exactly. That is what needs to be done. That's what People need to call these people to the carpet. And this will be Karen's topic too, the education. We have brainwashed people into treating these people. The honorable. I will never write letter. I remember early on that we were supposed to write the honorable congressperson, whatever. First off, they're representative. And if you keep saying representative or senator, they might kind of remember what they're supposed to be versus congressional representative, congressman, congresswoman, whatever, kind of stuff like that. But, you know, but we've, through brainwashing of school education, we've made these people a bunch of elitists. They're not elitists. They're supposed to be citizen representatives. And it's time that we gave them that lesson and stuck their nose in it. So this is what you are. You're not a king. You're not a queen or whatever else that you might have been promised for being here. Queen Pelosi is going away or something, whatever. Time for her to leave the building.
I also want to give Gibson some credit because he stood for this grilling. He stood for a half an hour for my grilling him on another show. And it's a Miss Inez Says show. Joe should actually download those shows and distribute them to let other politicians know that this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be responsible and accountable to your constituents. When they ask you a question, you're supposed to answer them. And that person who's doing the questioning, myself, doing the grilling, if they don't want you to answer in a meandering way or in a tap dance like Fauci does, then they should control the interview, which is what I did. And to his credit, he did well. Maybe I should. Well, I have that show downloaded. But this is what voters should do. If they have a chance to meet with their honorable politicians, they should grill them. They should ask them, what is it that not only do you intend to do, because everybody's resume is the same, you know. I don't care if they're from the 1920s to today. The resume is the same. How do you then know if these people are going to do what you want them to? You say to them, this is what I said to Joe, and I said to one other politician, I said, if you get into office, will you, since you don't have much power, you're only a freshman, okay, your bills are not going to get sponsored, but will you go around to your fellow colleagues, your fellow Republicans, and ask them if they would want to join you on a hunt for corrupt politicians? And if they say yes or no, would you be willing to publish what they say in your newsletter and do a press conference at the same time within 2 weeks? Joe said, yeah. Okay. Other politicians, if they say yes, as a matter of fact, there's a guy named Ned Romero who, before I got to him, he already had it as part of his contract up on his website, what he would do. So within the first day.
Yeah, and I believe that with Joe. Joe, I've never doubted his ethics or integrity, whatever else he's gonna say like it is, and I believe he will follow through on what he says. I've never questioned that on him. It was just, like I say, a little bit of a rough conversation. It crazily started, and I'm not gonna get too much into this, but he had made some wisecrack talking about people think that Trump can be the Speaker of the House or whatever else. And when I finally got on the air, I said, well, it's not a matter of whether, you know, first off, the question is, well, the fact is he could. Constitutionally, he could be the Speaker of the House. And I myself still to this day would say I personally think Trump could do a lot more as Speaker of the House than he can as the President, because he has a lot more control over that discussion, and he can call out the people who aren't doing the right thing, stuff he can't do in that White House. So anyway, so I kind of started with that, and then they were saying, you know, one thing led to another, but the whole point is Joe is definitely on our side. We're all fighting for the Constitution to restore the Republic, kind of stuff, and just have some different ideas on it. But I just I thought it was funny which I think he said it too about voting. What good has voting done you? I was like, well, you ran for office, and unfortunately, you didn't get my vote.
Well,
you did run for
office. Yeah, I know. I know, it seems to be a contradiction there, but I see both sides of the story. I mean, why vote? I'm not one who votes for the lesser of two evils. If I see some candidates that, man, all of them suck, I'm not going to vote for them just because, well, you have the right to vote and you should vote. I go, no, I'm not putting in these bastards. You know, none of
no.
them.
No. Well, I'm not going to. Yeah. A lot of people were saying they weren't going to because of the last corruption, 2020, whatever else. I'm not going to coward out of voting either. And it, the fact of the matter is there's always, especially like with these referendums, there's always stuff on the ballot. Whether you can jump over people, you don't like them. If you don't know who the judge is, don't vote for them, whatever. You know, you don't have to vote for people you don't like. You don't have to vote. But to go out there and make a blanket statement, I'm not going to waste my time voting because they're corrupt. You can't just cop out like that. To me, it's a cowardice.
Right. Yeah. I see that, yeah. too. I mean, if you feel that your politician is a good politician, then vote for him and let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, so people should vote, but the lesser of two evils, I don't think so. Vote for the person that you believe is the right person, and don't be dissuaded by the fact that the 2020 elections were stolen. So that's your point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I see I'm going to comment. This is getting back to the transportation issue.
Okay.
Lightweight in the chat room posted that Lightweight was watching the DeSantis versus Chris debate, which I figured was probably going to be a comedy act. But anyway, I'll watch some of that later. I'm sure there'll be a rerun. So during the first part of your show, sounds like DeSantis is hearing you, Sally, on the tolls. and he has cut back some of the tolls already. He has gotten rid of a few of the tolls. So keep that one in mind, everybody. Make sure you remind DeSantis. And now I know you're, Joe, I know you're not in Florida, but Florida is the toll road capital of the world. There are more toll miles, toll road, highway tolls than any place else. It's outrageous, and it is just a scam. You talk about fascism and collusion of government and everything and the private sector. Anybody that would say, well, if we go and put toll roads out there, this is going to increase jobs. Look how many new jobs we'll create. This makes as much sense as putting 87,000 IRS agents with guns out there. So we're going to hire a bunch of people to take our money. Gosh, that's such a wonderful deal. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's how stupid it is,
yeah.
Really. Let's pay mm-hmm. people to take our money. So, anyway,
mm-hmm.
that was good. So,
oh, you're talking about
Florida
tolls. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Just as a side note, years and years ago, from what I understand in New York, they had they were building like certain bridges using tolls to pay back the bonds that were needed in order to create the bridge, right? But then again, as soon as the bridge got completed, they continued with the tolls. So people better look out. When the government tells you that they're going to do one thing, you better take a look inside your back pocket because somebody's got a hand in there.
Well, and to that very point, the Florida Turnpike, built in 57, tolls were only going to be on it for 10 years. The 408, the East-West Expressway in Orange County, the tolls were only going to be there till it was paid off. But, of course, it's never paid off because they keep refinancing it.
Yeah, right.
I think it was Louisiana, the Crestview Bridge, I think is what it was called. They actually did get the tolls pulled off of that. That was probably 5 years ago now. In Jacksonville, Florida, they got rid of the tolls off of this bridge, and they had a referendum. They said they couldn't put it on there. Some yahoo got in there, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, 10 years ago now maybe, where he insisted on putting the tolls back on there after the people had voted and said no to it. It's the true modern-day highway robbery. Exactly, it is. DeSantis, it's been interesting because I was after DeSantis when he first ran for governor about this. He talked about it back then. He was going to do something about the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority. I think there was a little stuff done there, but not much, and stuff like that. So this has been one of his topics or issues all along. And then it wasn't too long ago when I had somebody from his office reach out to me and I sent the information about the true cost of toll abuse because it's a very regressive tax and it's the most expensive really to collect when it comes to the revenue you spend because of all the $1 billion. And now what they're trying, which they've done to some degree, interfacing all these toll collection systems from one state to another. Does anybody have any idea how much that cost to do? And here in Florida,
just when they tried to merge or interface, I should say, interface SunPass with ePass here in Florida, they had that so screwed up. They had so many, I want to say $80 million, but I'd have to double-check the amount, how many people they overcharged, how they were suspending people's licenses, and how much money. I mean, total chaos on what they have done. And then somebody with the credit card system screwed that all up and were overbilling people and putting them as delinquent. Total mess. It's a waste of money. It's a total waste of money. It's absolutely disgusting. And so when it, you know, people said, how did you ever get into transportation or whatever made you do this? And this is when I became an activist. It was toll roads that actually made me turn into an activist. And you start looking at one thing and then you see all the other crap that's out there, because it truly one thing leads to another. They were wanting to put the tolls on I-4, and it's like we already had all these stinking toll roads that people had fought and opposed, and they did it anyway. And now, and so we managed to stop the toll road once. We stopped the I-4 tolls once, and then these stupid people in the Orange County Commission bypassed it and played games with it and bypassed it and got it put out there too. And it was also Congressman Representative John Micah, who was on the transfer, one of the senior members of the Transportation Committee of the House, and he was a conservative, and he was out there saying he wouldn't go out there and put tolls on the interstate highways. Well, and at first he blocked off part of Orange County and Osceola County, saying they couldn't put them there, and then next thing you know, he's out there funding or helping to get the tolls put on there. That's why, just because a person's Republican doesn't mean they're conservative. It's all about who. And all the garbage and corruption with that guy, too, and his daughter getting special deals, et cetera, et cetera. And that was all when I started fighting the tolls on I-4. And one thing leads to another when you see how bad it really is out there, how screwed up and how corrupt these people truly are. Now, there's a couple of things out here in the chat. Let's see if I can go through. Let's see. Lightweight said you can watch the DeSantis Christ thing on probably YouTube or whatever, because I was asking what exactly did he say about the tolls, so I'll have to go do some research on that. It's only 1 hour. Chris had his followers, shares, whatever, figure all that. He sounded like lowering the prices. Okay, you reduce the price on the tolls. That's a start. Refinancing and the people's tolls never get it paid off, which is exactly it. They keep mortgaging the thing. So that's when they say, well, when it's paid off, they'll never pay it off because they'll always have to repair something or do something, update the electronics of the billing system and everything else. What are the prices on the tolls? Well, I haven't done any research on it lately, but I'll tell you, years ago when I did a survey of people locally in Orlando, an average household easily spent $200 to $300 a month on toll taxes going to and from work. And then the smaller businesses like the landscaping, the electricians, the plumbers who all have to drive, you know, house to house kind of stuff, back then they were spending $1,400 a month in toll taxes. And then a lot of them finally said, I can't travel across the county. I have to keep my business in one side of town because that's the only way I can afford to travel. And then somewhere along the way, they started putting monitors. When you got the SunPass and the ePass stuff, their technology, more money to spend. Then they started putting these tracking devices all over the place where they'd be scanning the people with the transponders. They said, well, we wanted to see what their travel patterns were.
The tracking. Yeah. It wasn't about trying to help people with, paying back the bond. It's about tracking you wherever you go. Yep.
That too. That too. So, I mean, it's all garbage. It has nothing to do with it. Now, how they brainwashed people in the very beginning, I remember it because I was in Orange County when they were putting in that stupid expressway authority. They kept saying, it's a user fee. So if you don't use the road, you don't have to pay for it, which is totally bogus, which goes into my paper on the true cost of toll abuse. Because guess what? The businesses that use those roads that deliver, or how did the groceries get to grandma's house? So they were using a toll road somewhere along the way. Anything that's going to increase the cost of transportation, everybody pays for, period. And I think people are actually saying that now. If people realize that now, and that's what the toll roads were, and there was just no excuse for it. It isn't. I had never had an objection to truly helping to pay to fund it, to the initial construction of one, through something like that. But they always say they're temporary, they never go away. So you can't trust these people. They will take your money every which way, and they will never stop until we are the ones who put the brakes on it, which I sure hope we put the brakes on it in November, and I sure hope these Republicans do something. As I'm telling you, hate to say how afraid I am of these crazy Republicans. What's that?
Oh, yeah. I said, I was thinking, oh, no, these Republicans aren't going to do anything, but we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, and another comment out in the thing, lightweight about the price of the tolls. That's funny. Okay, that's people going back and forth in the chat room. And then the other one is, yes, 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 tracking to keep you out of your car. It really is a very disgusting thing. It's evil. People have to understand. Communism, that should be the word of the year, the election, whatever. Welcome to China, the Chinese Communist Party, United States, because that's what we're becoming. We're very much a communist country, and people better think about what it really is, and it's everywhere. This transportation is all the sustainable, and Karen, I know you haven't had a chance to chime in on all of this, and I know you've got a lot of things to say on this one because of what it really is. So after all what we, Joe and I have been talking about, go ahead and shed some more light, especially when it comes to this sustainable development and the, of course, education.
Well, you're absolutely right, and thank you. The real issue is, like I said before, in the end, everything is connected. So what you're experiencing, if you start at the beginning, the child learns in school through a program called Affirmative Action. What is Affirmative Action? It's a program that was put in place to dumb down the Americans and focus more on emotion, value, and not factual information. Shift the focus from the individual to the collective, to the group, and create a situation of groupthink. And replace family, God, country, with school, government, media. So they took, if you think of it, the human brain, it's like a file cabinet, and it's filled with thousands of files, but if you don't open them, you don't use them. So if you don't teach the kids how to read, they're not going to learn. If you don't teach the kids how to think, and I'm not saying what to think, I'm saying how to think, they won't think. If you teach them only working on the emotional side of the brain, then the factual, logical side of the brain stops working. Not that the information goes away, it's just that the drawer is never opened. So what did they do? They focused on emotion. So all the things that happen now are happening through an emotional lens. Oh, I feel bad. He used the wrong pronoun. Really? How is that relevant and who cares? But that's not the point. The point is the people are now based on emotion. I had a Twitter war and he was mean. So don't use Twitter. Big deal. Who cares? What is it, a nameless, faceless bot of somebody that you'll never meet? Oh, but he was mean to me. Who cares? Doesn't matter, but it does matter because these people are trained on emotion. So now you're taking a group of people that are already being taught to be dumb, coupling it with emotion, and you now have trigger responses on all ends of the spectrum. So you will have a trigger response on somebody who will snap and pick up a gun, just like you could have a trigger response that somebody will all of a sudden create the most beautiful music in the world. It becomes extreme no matter what it is because the emotion makes it happen. So it could be a good emotion, could be a bad emotion, but it's going to drive it and make it extreme. And when that happens, logic, reason, and critical thinking are irrelevant. So How do you manage an oil crisis?
I don't know.
How do you make the prices go down? Oh, well, it must be the people at the pump that are selling the gas. That's the bad. They're the bad people. Or it must be the corporations. They're bad. They never look to see that what they created has created the mess because they can't look backwards. They can only look ahead. Backwards is too painful, so they don't go there. So, of course, they don't learn anything because each day is really a new day. And they are now molded. That's the way propaganda and indoctrination works. They're now molded in the pattern that the educator wanted them to be molded in. So now anything that you say against them or anything that you say that's derogatory, they can't reason out because they can't understand why you don't believe what they believe, because they were taught that anything that they don't believe is evil and you must be evil and therefore they can kill you. That's okay because you're evil. That's what they believe. So that's the inside. The people that are doing this, well, they're greedy pigs and everything is money, power, and control. And I always said that they're probably sitting in some drug-filled room, sitting there smoked up, coked up, whatever, saying, oh, how can we ruin people's lives today? How can we steal more of their money? How can we do, because all that they're doing is deliberate to hurt us. They want us to be hurt. They want that because what happens when you're hurt? When you're hurt, you're depressed. You turn to drugs. Ooh, they make a lot of money when you do that. You become mentally unstable. Ooh, they make a lot of money when you have to go to the shrink in the hospital and take more drugs. And then you become subservient. So you accept whatever they say because they can do it to you. They put you in that state. You kill yourself and they go, yay, you know, depopulation. Oh, let's take away their food. And we sit there and we go, yeah, you could take away our food. What?
Well,
we're not fighting
them. You know, what through the indoctrination, brainwashing of education, people have been so brainwashed that the government's always going to be there to help you. They're always there to help you. And right now, if there's any American, I'll say, over the age of 25, maybe we'll say 30, give the younger people a little more time here. Anybody that's over the age of 30 who does not truly understand that the CDC is not your friend, the FDA is not your friend, the EPA is not your friend, these quasi-governmental agencies have all been created as part of this mission, and you cannot believe anything. It's just, you got to shut it off. It's just, it's so despicable what they have done. But it's all because we've been so brainwashed. It's like, people, please. What the CDC is doing with the kids, it's just so disgusting. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that, okay, they did this before. What did they do before? I had a friend whose family was in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they found out, and I said, why didn't they fight back? You know, there was a lot of Jews that were in the ghetto, and they had a lot less people that were, security. Why didn't you overtake them? He said, well, two things. One is they took away our guns, so unless we hit them with pots and pans, that, you know, wouldn't have worked. But the other thing is, he said, they put fluoride in the water. And fluoride is a drug that will make it like takes the edge off of fighting. It makes you more subservient, more subdued. It's like Ritalin, you know, makes you kind of in there. So if I don't give it to you a lot, but I do over time, then eventually the fight will be gone. Well, what's fluoride in America? Toothpaste. Almost every American uses toothpaste. Now, if that theory is true, then This is part of the reason why Americans don't fight back, aside from the fact that they were taught to be the silent majority. So due to what their past performance is, I kind of believe in the fluoride thing, which is why I don't use fluoride toothpaste.
Yep.
But think about that. We have people who were trained by affirmative action, so they're already in a deficit. We give them things that they don't know anything about. We have multiple people, including John Holdren, who believe that, and Bill Gates, that you should put sterilization in the water so people will not be able to reproduce. And if they reproduce, then they should have a license to be able to reproduce.
Well, personally, I think they should have to have pass a constitutional test to be able to be elected to public office.
Yeah, I think they should have to recite it. They should at least have to have read it. That would be nice.
Okay,
but
all
of these things have been put in place, and we are living the results of that. And the most important, the key to all of this is the kids. If we don't change what goes on in our schools, and please get your kids out of those public schools. I don't care if you take them to a church and wherever, take them to a church, take them to a local club, take them any place. Teach them on your own what they are learning in school. They're not learning. And everything that they're learning in school is designed to break down the family. Because the key to the strength of America and Americans was the individual family, the family unit. And the minute they started breaking that down was when America started to fall apart. And we can thank LBJ and welfare for that, because they made welfare. Think about this. You could only get welfare if you were a single parent.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
what happens when
that
happens?
Yeah.
What happens when that
happens?
Hold that
thought. Hold that thought, Karen. We're down to a few minutes. We're gonna probably run about 10 minutes over here, because I want to wrap up a couple of things here. So if you're listening strictly through the chat or the internet, you might want to call in real quick to listen. Nathan's gonna chime in. Now, Nathan, as you just heard, we're down to the last few minutes here, so I want to go ahead and let you chime in. I was surprised you didn't call in earlier when we were talking about transportation, since you're a truck driver. But go ahead, Nathan. What was on your mind, and then we'll get back to some of these other things.
Okay, what Karen was saying is, you know, what happens, what we're learning this stuff in the education system, but something else too with the drugs. I don't know if you guys know this, but the word pharmacy in the original language is pharmakia, and it's the same word. We get two English words. One is pharmacy and the other one is sorcery. Here's the thing about information. We can pump you full of information, and you have to reason with that over a period of time. But if we can do it under drugs, it cements it into your soul, and you just – it's hard to reason with you from that point on, because your mind accepted this stuff under the influence of drugs. And I'm convinced that this is one reason why they want to make marijuana a big thing, because here's the deal. One day they're going to say, hey, look, we'll make drugs cheaper, or we'll make them free. Man, I'm going to tell you what, you'd vote your soul away, you know, if that's your issue. But that's the whole thing. Why you can walk into a church and sit there and, I'm not going to be here. But if it's a cult, the first thing they do is get you on drugs. And then they start pumping you through this crap, and then you're sitting at the airport passing out pamphlets asking people for dollars and giving it to this guy over here that's driving a jet. So that's all I had on my mind. She was waking it up on there.
Okay, well, thank you, Emma Nathan. Good info.
And I got through all that and didn't even say the C word.
I am so proud of you. We are going to have we're going to have a show on the C word, though. I promise you that, and we're still going to
do it.
Good deal. It'll be after this election, because it doesn't matter in this election. It'll matter in the next one.
No.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan. Okay,
I'm
anyway,
go ahead and
Karen.
And
okay. Anything else, Nathan? He's dropping off.
Okay. Nathan usually does chime in on the transportation stuff, and he's there in Orange County, so I know he's not voting for that surtax. Okay, anyway, Karen, let's go ahead and kind of wrap up, and then I'll remind everybody to vote no on the transportation surtax.
Well, I will also remind everybody on the amendments on number one vote yes, on number two vote yes, and on number three vote no. Oh, my goodness, why would I vote no and not want to give money to our workers, our public servants? That's exactly why. They're doing their job. I'm sorry, yeah. But I did my job and nobody gave me anything except a thank you for doing your job. And if we were flush with money, I wouldn't care. But we're not. The longer we continue to give our money away, the worse it is going to become. So we have to wake up, bite the bullet, and say, we love you. We think you're doing a magnificent job. And we want you to stay with us forever, but not give them money. It's not right. And how do you know which job is more important than another one? That's not right either. And do I get a rebate because I was a retired teacher? No. So let's not get ridiculous with money we don't have. In the meantime, please visit me on the Prism of America's Education on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. And also, the Florida Citizens Alliance works and does a lot of work in schools, and now we're getting information together for bills and things like that. So if you have any information, please go and visit the Alliance, and that is a place where people share ideas as well. We have several of those. But I have an idea, Sally. What if at these meetings where they say, I want to gather everyone together and blah, 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 what if we came up with a message of the week and all of the talk show hosts got to say that message, like, this week a record was broken and 220,000 illegals were apprehended by ICE. A message.
Yeah.
This week that the gas went up 8 cents. Thank you, Joe. But if we all said that message, think of how powerful that would be. Because when you say something on the radio and you have people that listen to you and you repeat it, they will repeat it also. And that's the idea of radio, to share. So how about if we did something like that?
I've been trying to get everybody to say, which is fact, you can go out there and do your own science. The fact is it costs more fossil fuel to create, to build an electric car and to keep the battery going and all the other garbage between the coal and the fossil fuel, that electric cars are worse for the environment. Everybody to go out there and when you see and speak to anybody, electric vehicles are worse for the climate and the environment than the combustion engine. And it's a fact. And you can go out there in the solar energy. Go out there and for the amount that you get and for all the panels that nobody knows how to recycle, what to do with afterwards. If those things are worse for the climate. If you care about climate change, you must oppose wind, because it doesn't do anything and kills a lot of birds and everything else. And then you must oppose solar, especially these solar farms. Solar on your house, if it helps you, whatever. But the solar farms, and then, of course, these electric vehicles. If you care about the climate, reject those things. Just that, to me, that should be one of the statements of the week.
I agree. And I think if we're going to do something, we should do something.
Exactly.
You know, that's one of the things I will give them on their collectivism is they all, if you listen, they all message the same thing. They all say the same words. And it ties them together.
It's hysterical when you go and listen when they're saying, because it really is. How all these different media outlets had the exact same statement. Come on.
Right. So what if we copied them? Then we, all we are doing is mimicking them. They will go crazy. They will go nuts if we did that. So, see, that's it. Yep. If we actually were together and we did things to make them nuts, there's so many things we could do. Problem is, the leadership is not doing anything, which is why, folks, it is so important. Take a buddy to vote. Make sure you vote. Make this the highest turnout ever, because this one is for our country.
Yep, you better vote like your life depends on it, because this country's life depends on it, thus your life depends on it.
Yeah, your life does depend on it, because if we lose, your life will be so incredibly different and horrible you can't imagine it. 1,000 IRS agents to go after who? Who do you think they're going to go after? I don't think they're going to go after Bill Gates. I don't think they're going to go after Hillary or Biden. I don't think they're going to go after them. They're going to come after us. So if you want IRS agents on your doorstep, then please do vote for those wonderful globalist Democrats. But if you want nobody in your business that does not belong there, then you better vote for the GOP. For the Republicans, for the nationalists. I think I like that better. We don't like GOP because I don't think they are. But for this one, we
America
can't change
first.
The name. The MAGA people. Yeah. And I thought that was very interesting when Trump said, these people are out there and they're saying they're going to go after the MAGA people, and the MAGA people are horrible. And he said, I don't even think they know what MAGA means. America first. How could you not want that and be an American?
Exactly.
And nobody asked them. Nobody, you know, that's what he said. Nobody ever asks them why. Why do you feel that way? Or do you know what MAGA means? So
exactly. Excuse me. And it's more to the point. What is the goal? The destruction of the country. Communism.
Yep.
Take down.
Yes.
Take it down. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for a lovely, wonderful talk. As always, it is wonderful to be on your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Excellent discussion, and this is good. This is what it's all about. We got to share facts. We got to let everybody know what's going on. If you got stuff to share, call in and share it with us. If you know something is going on, if you have a candidate, I've been trying to get some candidates, but it's very difficult when I only have this one time slot for the week right now. So we try to get some other candidates in. But remember, it's all about sharing information, and people in Orange County. No to both. And I'm going to go ahead. I meant to do this earlier because there is a second. And right now, from what I know of it, I'm saying no. You can go out there and do some research. Rent stabilization ordinance trying to control, in fact, it's a shall. The Orange County Rent Stabilization Ordinance, which limits rent increases for certain residential rental units and multifamily structures to the average annual increase of the consumer price index, and requires the county to create a process for landlords to request an exception to the limitation on the rent increase based on an opportunity to receive a fair and reasonable return on their investment be approved for a period of 1 year. Now, the 1 year is maybe a reason to let it, but no. It's what they're saying is they're playing games with it, and I would say no to this. It's not going to help the people who are having problems with rent. So please, no to both of the Orange County measures, referendum items on the ballot. No to a transportation surtax. It's a waste. It's a nothing but a political slush fund. And go contact Governor DeSantis. Remove the tolls now. Get rid of these tolls. They're also a slush fund, a cash cow to political people and their special interest, and it's the wrong thing to do. So we go out there and push those things. And sorry, I had to run over a little bit here, but we had a lot of important stuff to say. Thank you for listening in.
please get involved. Please talk to other people. You've got to share the information. You've got to share it and let others know what's going on. And we have to take back our country. America first. Make America great again. Nationalism versus globalism. And with that being said, please be safe. Be good to each other. Vote. I say, and Trump has been saying to vote on Election Day, but whatever day you vote, just make sure you vote. And God bless America. Good night, everyone.